Jesus is over everything. He is risen. He is risen indeed. If you've been around the church on a Resurrection Sunday before, you know how that saying goes, and I'm going to need your help today. We may be online, the room may be empty, but the tomb is empty as well, and Jesus is alive here and wherever you are watching this right now. And so let's try this together. I'm going to say he is risen. You're going to say he is risen indeed. You can comment online and shout it out in your home. Ready? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's try it again. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is Resurrection Sunday, and Jesus is truly over everything. I'm Pastor Brian, and I am so excited to share God's word today with you, to encourage you, to equip you, to empower you to be who I believe God has called us each to be in this season. And so as we look at this today, as we interact, we have live hosts. We would love it for you to comment, to high five, hallelujah, amen. You can give those shout outs, and we're going to have a great time this morning and today as we get into God's word. Let me pray us in, because I believe God has something to say to each of us today through his word. I don't want us to miss it, to not miss a moment, because the truth is moments lead to movement, and God is on the move. God's movement is never stopped by anything here on earth. He's over it all. So Father, we come to you now, and we thank you for what you want to do today through your word. Holy Spirit, empower your word to go forth and to accomplish the purpose for which you're sending it. Increase our faith. Give us hope. Lead us by your love. We ask that you would move in a mighty way. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are over everything. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. All right. So think about this with me for a minute. We're going to be in Mark 16 if you want to turn your Bible there. But think about this. On Good Friday, what happened to Jesus wasn't good. A few days ago, as we honored and celebrated and recognized that Jesus, in fact, died for our sins on the cross, a sinless Son of God sacrificing himself to us out of his great love, there wasn't anything good about what happened to him. That was a horrible, brutal way to die, and there were witnesses of that around him, people that had followed him, disciples, that would have looked and gone, what just happened? What's going on? They would have probably asked the question many of us are asking right now. What now? What's next? You know, as they came to that moment on that Resurrection Sunday, they were carrying with them likely some questions and some fears that maybe you can relate to today. In fact, the top three what now fears that many of us right now during this COVID-19 stay-at-home pandemic season are probably wrestling with ourselves. I know for me, I've wrestled with all three of these. Maybe you have as well. A fear about our health. You know, it's hard, right? We're in allergy season here in the Midwest. Every little cough, every little sneeze can create fear. Our finances. Some of you may have already experienced a job reduction or a job loss, or you have fear about that coming in the future. Or maybe it's just your future in general. What is this going to mean? What is this life now? What is ahead for all of us? I believe that those disciples that had saw Jesus crucified, as they came to that moment at the tomb, had carried all three of those fears for themselves as well. Here's what's so incredible. God always has something real and relevant to say to us each and every day through his word. Let me share with you where we're going to get started today in Mark 16, verses 9 through 14. It says, after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. Yeah, you heard it right. Seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Afterward, he appeared in a different form to two of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he'd been raised from the dead. Jesus is over everything. Let me ask you, are you a believer? Are you a believer that believes that Jesus is in control, that he is over everything, that he in fact meets us in these moments of pain and grief? And that's what I want to encourage you with today, is Jesus in fact is present in our pain. That Jesus in fact shows up here in their pain, in their grief, and in their unbelief. Jesus in fact is ready to enter into our unbelief and our grief. It's interesting. Did you notice the witnesses? There was kind of a progression, if you will. In fact, he showed up first to Mary Magdalene. This gives me a lot of encouragement because Mary Magdalene had a past. Mary Magdalene, in fact, as it said, had 7 demons that she was delivered from. Her life had not been perfect, yet Jesus chose not just to overflow the boundary of culture and context, because it wasn't normal for a woman in particular to be a witness to something in that society. It would have been less likely that people would have believed it back in that day and age. So for Jesus to show up to her was to change social norms, and also to say, no matter what you've done, what you've been through, whatever your past is, he wants to enter into that and be present. Then he met the 2 men, the disciples. It would take 2 witnesses to hold up in a legal court. There's this moment where he meets them, and they see him in their pain and their grief, probably even some sense of lament. Some of us can relate to that right now. We're not just feeling loss and disorientation and confusion and feeling like our world is upside down, but some of us, if we're honest, we're just straight up angry. We're lamenting the things that we can't do or that we're not able to do. I imagine that they felt some of those ways as well. And in the middle of that space, Jesus enters in and he meets them. And then did you notice on the journey, he then enters in and meets the whole group. They were hiding behind closed doors. They were afraid. Think about how relevant that is for today. As many of us are on stay-at-home orders, as many of us are hiding in our homes, Jesus has allowed us to be scattered. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to meet us in it. In fact, in many ways, that's the reminder that Easter weekend and Good Friday is not only is Jesus present in our pain, but he enters into our messiness. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." While we were still sinners, while our world was still fallen, the sinless Son of God came and lived 30 years, 3 years of ministry, and at age 33, he didn't lose the battle, he won the battle. Because in his love, he chose to go to the cross, to lay down his life for you and I. We serve a God that wants to be present in our pain, to come into our unbelief and grief and say, "I'm here for you. You can trust me. My love is greater than anything you're experiencing." Jesus, as I said, came and dwelt among us. The incarnation of Jesus shows us that he was fully God and fully human. So human, in fact, that when he lost a friend in John chapter 11 named Lazarus, says in verse 35, it's the shortest verse in the Bible, then Jesus wept. Can you picture this? Our God, knowing he would resurrect Lazarus, wept. He grieves with those who grieve. He mourns with those who mourn. He can relate to our struggles, our temptations, because he was one of us. Jesus is present in our pain. And here's what he does is he actually in that space begins to turn things and change things and move on our behalf and move for the good. Some of you are fans of great stories. And one of those great storytellers was a man named J.R. Tolkien. J.R. Tolkien is behind the Lord of the Rings series and the books and movies. And he actually coined a phrase that I love. It's the word eucastrophe. In the Greek, eu means good, and catastrophe means destruction. His premise was that in the middle of anything we might go through on earth, that a great story has an element of destruction that then twists and turns for the good. Our God bends everything for our good. And we are in a moment in time where many of us are experiencing the front part of catastrophe. And here's the thing, if we're honest, we don't like the tension. We might like the movie of someone else, we might like the book of somebody else, but we don't want to be that character that has to dwell in the tension of catastrophe waiting for the good. And the resurrection of Jesus reminds us the ultimate turning point, the ultimate twist, that in fact he shows up and shows out and has the victory. We are in the middle of God writing a new story in our nation and in our world. And check out what he does for them. He actually renews them and he refuels them. And this is what I believe Jesus wants to do in each of our lives in this season, is he wants to renew us and refuel us. There's a restructuring, a reorienting of our lives that is happening right now, whether we want it to or not. And here's the thing, if you're a believer, that means that as Jesus has entered in, he's still wanting to enter in right where you're at today. And what happens to the disciples is amazing because his presence entering into their pain renews them and refuels them so much so that they're ready to go out. They're ready to live on purpose. They're ready to live out the mission that God had for them. Check it out with me, picking up in verse 15. It says this, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Say everyone online. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Jesus' presence provides us with purpose and power. You see, as he renewed them and refueled them, he then said, here's your purpose. I want to use you to reach others. I want to use you. I want you to now go out and reach others and to do that with power. You see, there is a world right now that is lost and lonely. And Jesus sends us out to the lost and to the lonely. And maybe right now as you're hearing this, that's you. You feel lost. You feel lonely. I just want to encourage you that Jesus wants to meet you in that. He also has a people called the church that are called to come alongside of you, to help you find him and find your purpose, and also to invite you into community to know that he's with you and that you're not alone anymore because others are with you. That's what the church and the family of God is meant to be. We're a people that follow Jesus as Jesus goes after the lost and the lonely. Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus describes his mission. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's who Jesus is. That's what he wants us to be about. And here's what's so awesome about that. Did you catch that there's actually some power that takes place, not because of us, but because of God with us? That actually there are signs, it says, supernatural signs are going to flow through his followers. I don't know about you, but I can get caught up in the routine sometimes and miss the power of God. And what a moment in time for all of us to be renewed and refueled, to be reminded of our purpose, and to be called to live with his power. You see, the five signs, let me read to you again what they describe here. Look at how this power works. It says, they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. You see, Jesus' resurrection is the victory that unleashes his power in and through our lives. There are signs that follow us as we follow Jesus. And yes, this passage has been misused. Hear me clearly. This is not for us to go out and to pursue deadly poisons or pick up deadly things or to do irresponsible behaviors in the name of Jesus. That's not at all what's happening here. What's happening is because a love that is larger than our fears fills us, because Jesus fills us, we now are led out into a dark world, and miracles will follow that. You see, Jesus' love is larger than our fears, and it will lead to miracles. We don't have to look for them. We follow Jesus. And when we follow him with great faith, the miracles will follow. And I believe, and you need to know, that this church, Overflow, has been praying for renewal for months now, having no idea that God would create through a crisis the context for renewal. That in fact, in our homes, we have a chance to be refueled, to look at our purpose, and to live on mission. And the key to the whole thing will be following Jesus' love. And believing by his grace and his power, we are going to see miracles. When's the last time that you shared hope with somebody else and said, hey, here's the good news. Here's what I believe. What do you believe? When's the last time that you actually said, hey, have you been baptized? I would love for you to be baptized, and I'd like to be a part of that. Here's why. When's the last time you heard a story and said, not just, yeah, I'll pray for you, but you actually did it? Maybe right there in the moment, and the person experienced victory and healing. Church, I believe that God has more for all of us, and that he wants to use us in incredible ways in this season ahead. This love that is larger, I pray that you receive it, and that it is so much bigger than any of the fears that you're carrying today. That it's a deep trust in God that he loves you and he is for you. And if he's for you, what can be against you? Let me read on in Mark 16, the last two verses today. It says, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Here's what you need to know. Jesus is over everything, and he never changes, and he never leaves us. Him sitting at the right hand of the Father made room for the Holy Spirit to be given to you and I. As believers, the Holy Spirit in us means that we're never alone. And what we need to know in a time and in a season when everything around us is changing is God has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is eternal. His character is true. This didn't catch him by surprise. He didn't cause COVID-19, but he has allowed it, and he is orchestrating his plans and is ready to use his people who trust him, who trust that he hasn't changed, who trust that he will not leave them nor forsake them, that wherever he places us, wherever he guides us, he's going to show up in the middle of it and demonstrate his goodness and his power. That's who our God is. Can I get an amen online? So Jesus empowers us, it says, to share with everyone, everywhere. And for some of you right now, you have been so caught up over the last few weeks in your social media feeds, in watching the news, in binging on Netflix. In fact, it's funny, the number one show In the nation right now on Netflix, maybe some of you will recognize this. He says this statement on the internet worldwide is how he's broadcasting. Even the Tiger King, if you caught that, can recognize the opportunity that a moment like this online represents. And let me just say, if you immediately recognize that that was the Tiger King, maybe a little less Tiger King and a little bit more Jesus is King in this season would get you back to that place of being on fire for him. Because here's the reality. I believe that God wants to light a fire in all of us. And any of us who are willing, he's ready to use us, everyone, everywhere. One of the unique things here that we say at Overflow Church when we close our services is to go now and be the church. Let me share with you a short clip that demonstrates how that might look in this season. You see, when we leave the church building, we say, go now and be the church. This season has scattered us all to our homes. But what if this was Jesus sending us out to meet us in a new way? Jesus is over everything. This season at home can be a time of being reminded how much greater God is, how much greater his vision for our life is. We can be reminded that God is good and he is at work in our homes. This season is not a mistake. God has allowed it. He is ready to meet you, to renew you, to refuel you. He is ready to use you. It is time to embrace that he has a plan and a purpose for you. It is time to become a believer and to truly be his church. Jesus is over everything. While things may be different right now, God has a much higher view and a larger vision for our living. Are you a believer? It's interesting to think about what that might mean for somebody who's been around church, maybe showed up at Christmas and Easter, and we want to just say, hey, we're so glad you're here today. We're so glad you're checking this out. But we would not want you to miss what it means to be a believer. To believe that Jesus came and died and rose again. That his love offers us the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And yes, we are all sinners that fall short of the glory of God. Scripture teaches us that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, we will be saved. That's how we become a believer. That's how we're born again. John 3, verse 16 through 18 says this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And so today I want to offer you a chance. If you've never prayed to receive Jesus, to say that I need him as my Lord and Savior. He's what I'm missing. He's what I need. I realize that he's over everything. If that's you today, I want to invite you to pray with me right now, right in this moment. You can repeat after me. Jesus, I believe that you are the sinless Son of God, that you came and died for my sins, that you rose again, and that through you I can have life and life eternally. Forgive me for my sins. Make me clean. Renew me. Fill me with your Spirit and lead me forward with your love. Thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. If you prayed that today, will you just give a little comment or a shout out online? Connect with our hosts. They would love to encourage you and to celebrate with you and to follow up with you. You need to know that in Scripture, even when one person comes to faith, it says that there's a party being thrown in heaven. We are celebrating your decision today to become a believer. Now, for others here, as we celebrate what God has just done, I want to challenge you to say, are you a believer? Yeah, you may believe in Jesus, but do you believe what you've heard today from his word? Do you believe that God enters into our pain, that he wants to renew us and fuel us? Do you believe that God, in fact, has a purpose for you and that he wants to demonstrate his power through you? Do you believe that God wants you to trust that he doesn't change and that you're never going to be alone as you follow him? Because here's the thing, when we come to Jesus and we really believe, our life will never be the same. And today we come to the table, we come to a moment of communion and fellowship with Jesus because we're believers. Hopefully you got the memo. If not, scramble right now. Grab either your crackers, your bread, your wafer, whatever it is, and grab your juice, and we're going to have a moment together to respond to who Jesus is. We're going to receive communion right where you're at, whether you're alone with us or whether you're at home with others. As we receive communion, this is a moment to remember what Jesus did for us as believers, that his body was broken for us on the cross, that as his body was broken, his blood was shed. The juice symbolizes his blood that is that atoning sacrifice for our sins. I just pray that as we receive communion today as believers, that it renews us and fuels us to live for him. I'm going to pray for us, and then you're going to have a chance to receive communion right where you're at today. And then you're going to hear a song in a time of worship around this idea of the blessing, speaking life over you, speaking life over what's ahead for all of us. And the fact that our God has made a way. We celebrate that today. And we know that while we may not see what's ahead, we know he's ahead of us and he will continue to make a way. So Jesus, right now in this moment, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was shed. Father, as we receive communion, I pray that we would confess any sins we need to you, that in that act of repentance, you would renew us and we would rejoice and celebrate together on this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for making a way. We give you all the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship him together through communion and through singing. And let me encourage you, stand after you've received communion. Stand wherever you're at, as long as it's safe, and worship him and praise him because he is worthy of all of our praise.